The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Somewhere, the witching hour of the Red Zone Channel sheds a tear. Phillip Rivers, he never met a game with 1 minute left, down one score he didn't love. Today, announcing his retirement from the NFL. He says he'll go start a family. I kid. I mean, I'm the last one to make the joke, I guess. Wonderfully robust family already, 9 children. Who knows what the future holds. In his statement today, he shouted out St. Sebastian, which I love. Trivia right now. St. Sebastian, patron saint of anyone? Anyone? Athletes. Okay, so Rivers retires, fifth in yards, fifth in touchdowns, never made a Super Bowl. Emily Kaplan, Mina Kimes, Clinton Yates, around the home. Thanks for being here. Mina Kimes, is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Dadgummit, I think he is, Tony. Look, people hold his postseason record against him, but for me, when I'm thinking about whether or not players belong in the Hall of Fame, I look at three categories. Yes, postseason success, he's lacking there, 5-7, never having been in a Super Bowl, although I would argue his appearance in the AFC Championship after tearing his ACL is iconic, and you can't really think about football in the last decade or plus without it. But the other factors I looked at are longevity and career production. Guy played 240 straight games. He ranks fifth in the NFL in a number of passing categories. And then, and this I believe is most important, was he ever dominant? You could argue that between 2008 and 2012 or 13, Phillip Rivers ranked amongst the two or three best quarterbacks in the game. If Eli Manning gets in the Hall of Fame off of his Super Bowls, which I believe he will, Phillip Rivers, who was the better quarterback, belongs to.
Emily Kaplan, is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I mean, Mina mentioned it. Firstly, he's top five all-time in all-time touchdowns and yards, which is significant to me. But the 240 consecutive start streak is incredible, considering the litany of injuries that he had to go through. I just want to point out that Dan Fouts, another Chargers great, he's in the Hall of Fame, has only been to 2 AFC Championship games, 0 Super Bowls. This isn't the Hall of Fame of getting drafted to a winning franchise or, in the case of Eli Manning, throwing a temper tantrum until you get to a winning franchise. He should not have to suffer because of bad luck or circumstances around him.
Clinton Yates, is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
I think he is, and my reasons are not that much different for everything they just said. He passes the eyeball test to me, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's going to be one of the first victims of everybody wanting to die on Rings Mountain, as Mina likes to say, where you just look at the guy and you're like, I'm sorry, he was one of the best players of his era, quite obviously, and he's got the numbers to back it up, and he's a super fun dude, okay? I love his whole antics, the bolo ties, all this other stuff. Why wouldn't you want that guy in your Hall of Fame if you've got numbers like that and he's that kind of
person? I'm not going to play devil's advocate.
I put him in the
devil don't need no advocate. I mean, forget that. But you said most dominant quarterback from, what was that, 08 to 12 or so on the list? I mean, that's a time when Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers are playing, Mina. You're not taking him above any of those guys.
No, but in any individual season, if you look at QBR, yards per attempt, whatever, Phillip Rivers consistently ranks in the top three, Tony.
Mm-hmm. All right. The three quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame that never made a Super Bowl. Anyone know that? I'm ready to give points out today.
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon is correct. Dan Fouts was said before by Emily. She gets a point for that. And Clinton Yates, Sonny Jurgensen. Let's go. Let's go around that one. One more question for you, Mina Kimes.
Sorry.
Where do the Colts go now?
Well, it's complicated for Indianapolis because they have a win-now roster. They obviously made it to the postseason, have an excellent defense, and they have a lot of cap space. But unfortunately, there aren't that many free agents, quarterbacks out there who can come in and step in for Phillip Rivers and allow them to compete immediately. Like, I'll hear Dak Prescott, but I'll believe he leaves Dallas when it happens. A Matt Stafford trade would be ideal. I'm not sure Detroit would be willing to part with him, and I think Indianapolis would have to give up probably a very significant draft pick or player or two. So if none of that materializes, I think they should look at the draft because none of the other options are better than Phillip Rivers.
That's a playoff team this year, though. And maybe there's a Deshaun Watson trade that you can fire in there, tweet it out, and see what happens. That's what Indianapolis might be thinking right now. All right, we're going to move on. Other news of the day, Major League Baseball. Toronto Blue Jays making the biggest splash in free agency so far. George Springer, 6 years, $150 million. Clinton Yates, around the horn to you. What did Toronto just do?
I think they made themselves relevant again in terms of who they are as a franchise. Everybody got all fired up about the baby bigs last year between Vladdy Jr., Biggio, and Bichette, and that's a nice little package. Vladdy Jr., by the way, is looking great in the offseason from a trim down standpoint, so I expect a lot out of him. But overall, they spent a lot of money on a guy that needed a lot of money to get there, and I like this. The playoffs are a reasonable expectation, I think, at this point for the Blue Jays. And what Rowdy can do in terms of at first base and what he showed last year, I know their pitching isn't great. They've shored up the bullpen as much as they can with Yates coming on. But I don't think that this team is all of a sudden going to beat the pants off of everybody. But I certainly think they're worth watching out for. Toronto's got a good squad. Springer is an impact player at the top of that line.
Emily, would 100%. You call this an impact move as well?
You know what's so funny is that I was on Twitter last night, and I obviously follow a lot of Canadians because I'm a hockey reporter, and for like 4 hours, my entire timeline was a Blue Jays hype machine. I was like, I had no idea all of you guys cared that much. But what that showed me is that fans of the Blue Jays and Canadians, they want to feel seen. This team went after so many free agents after trades this offseason and saw other teams come out on top like the Mets. And finally, they get the big fish who wants them back. And it doesn't matter if you have to overpay. This team is exciting. They're already been exciting. I mean, last year, only the Dodgers outfield had more home runs than the Blue Jays outfield. And it's all about winning in the postseason. George Springer can win in big moments. He has 19 postseason home runs. That's fourth all time. Yeah. It's more than Reggie Jackson. Like, I'm excited about it. Not as much as my friends up north, but it's exciting.
My father will have you know, Emily, a lot more playoff games available for Springer opposed to Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. But the numbers are, they're there. He's one of the great postseason players of all time. And Mina Kimes, what type of move did Toronto just make?
It's huge. I mean, Emily, who apparently is our liaison to all things Canadian, has her finger on the pulse of the zeitgeist up there is absolutely right. I saw a ton of excitement around this for Toronto in terms of bringing a free agent of this caliber and fame and with this much postseason success to the Blue Jays is enormous. George Springer has ranked in the top three in terms of wins above replacement at his position for several years now. That lineup is scary. Now, the pitching puts them behind the Yankees for me. But if we're talking about being firmly in the mix, that's a technical term, this team is in the mix.
Very technical. Thank you. Thank you for the very technical term. Take a mute for that, Mina Kimes. Do you believe the scarlet letter that was on their chest after everything that happened with the trash cans is now gone, Clinton Yates?
I don't think so. Listen, Altuve is still the longest tenured player on that team. And I think that when you honestly look back in all the visuals of every single thing that happened, what we're going to remember is Altuve grabbing that shirt and not being able to let anybody take it off. And as long as that guy's on that franchise, people are going to remember what happened.
And that team is yet to play in front of fans, so fans can voice how they feel about that in the regular season. All right, I'm going to take a break right here. Exactly. Emily, do me a favor. Just your right shoulder. Scooch over a little bit. What are we looking at behind? Is that Vincent Bo Jackson?
Yes, it is.
That's beautiful. Love it. That gets you a point on this show. Taking a break. Buy or sell next.
Thanks, Bo.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't think this reflects a fundamental flaw in the process. I think this is a very unfortunate circumstance that we wish we'd known about, but didn't.
Mina, first off, incredible work. You wrote the initial report with Jeff Passan for ESPN. As the Mets and baseball grapple with this sexual harassment, how did you hear Sandy Alderson, Mets president, yesterday?
Tony, I have complicated feelings about what he said, and I think who bears responsibility in all of this. I think it is reasonable for the Mets to have not known, which is a question that's been raised, because unless we hear that people in positions of power or that were interviewed or should have been interviewed had awareness of the incident, there's no way, frankly, that they could have found out. But I thought Hannah Keyser at Yahoo asked a really important question at the press conference. She asked Alderson, did you talk to any women? And he said no, because there aren't women that we would have talked to in positions of power. And I think that's an indictment, not of the Mets necessarily, but of the industry at large, because fundamentally this is a story about power and power imbalances. And if there's greater diversity, gender and race, in these positions, I think there are people who are more likely to understand those dynamics and explore them. So going forward, this isn't just about the Mets or one person. I think this is a structural issue that baseball needs to address, and that seems to me to be a good place to start.
Alderson said it's the club's responsibility. It's not baseball's responsibility. It's not a business's responsibility. How did that sit with you?
I actually disagree. I think it's more than the responsibility of the, like, it would be naive for anyone to think this is constrained to one person, one club, you know, or one even sport or league. This is an issue that, as women come forward and tell similar stories, clearly is, I would say, it spreads across all of sports and industry. And I think it's not just the Mets that need to look at this and think, okay, how can we prevent this from happening in the future? It's every team. It's the league. And it includes coaches, executives, and athletes. Mm-hmm.
Emily Kaplan, your thoughts on Alderson's comments yesterday and anything else you want to go here?
Yeah, you know, when I heard him talk, one of the things that worried me was that he was minimizing the prevalence of this. And, you know, Tony, you and I were talking yesterday. I think one thing I really want my colleagues to understand is there's not always a graphic text message. There are so many women in this industry who have been forced out because of casual misogyny that happens on a daily basis. My friend, Meredith Shiner, she used to cover politics in D.C. She brilliantly coined it subconcussive hits. Like, we don't see them happening, but they're happening, and they're happening, and they grate on women, and they make them feel unwelcome in sports. So, yeah, Mina, I totally heard that Hannah Keyser question yesterday in the press conference, and I felt like it was spot on. And then to hear Sandy Alderson say, no, we haven't talked to any women, that's all I need to know, both about the process and just about how much this actually is on people's minds as they're making hire, which is none. It's non-existent.
So I'll ask you the same question then. You've covered teams before. Now you're covering a full league, and you get to see all teams in play here. When you hear a team president say, this is our responsibility, this is not something baseball needs to look at here, how do you feel about that?
Again, I'm conflicted, but I do think that when you're hiring someone to be the GM of your franchise, that's the leader. That's a forward-facing person. It's on you to vet them and to absolutely talk to zero women whatsoever and to broaden your scope. Don't just talk to executives. Talk to the people who deal with them every day. This guy was clearly a source for a lot of baseball reporters based on the inferences I took off of Twitter. Talk to people. Find out his true character. That's on you.
Clint Yates?
Well, also, once a mistake is made and it's happened on your watch, there's no need to distance yourself from it as if you were somehow not responsible for it. He sounded like a person trying to insult my intelligence as an American, as a man, never mind a baseball fan. If you're telling me it's not systemic, well, then how does this happen? How do you sit in that position and tell everybody that you didn't interview a woman? What is systemic other than that? And that's what I don't understand about this. You can come out and say, this was messed up. We need to do something different, and we're responsible for our own situation. To say, distance yourself, this isn't one club's problem. I don't care who he thinks his responsibility is. What I care about is whether or not what happens on his watch is something that he can take responsibility for, and it doesn't seem that that's the case, which is how all these different types of men in these positions end up bifurcating the responsibility at the end of the day. Bro, it was your guy. Obviously, it is systemic to your team enough that that person got to the top. You don't have to lambaste every single other person on earth in order to take responsibility for yourself. I mean, I didn't get that from what he said.
There's many things that could be true here, and this infraction, allegedly, occurred when he wasn't with the Mets. Mina, I want to just ask you, is there anything else you want to add here?
I think I just want to echo what Emily said about, you know, it's not just about the fact, this is a very concrete case. We had text messages. It's very clear what happened. And often the stories are, and first of all, most of the time we never even hear the stories, but they're less clear. There's more confusion, or there's more reasons for people to plant seeds of doubt. But beyond that, this is so far from being an isolated incident. Every woman in this industry I know was not surprised, not about this particular person, but the fact that this kind of story happened. And that should tell you something, I think, about the prevalence of these types of interactions in not just baseball, but every sport.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your thoughts there. One more story I want to get your guys' opinion on, and it's the NBA. The NBA and Adam Silver today saying the league is considering vaccinations for players. That would seemingly be ahead of schedule of where nationally vaccinations are now available for people, frontline, and of course, elderly people at this moment. Clint Yates, how do you consider it all?
I don't like the way this sounds off the rip at all. The idea of using, quite frankly, famous black celebrities as a reason to, I don't know, sort of guinea pig something that a lot of other people don't have available does not sit right with me. Number two, I don't like the notion of trying to imply that because you're trying to educate everybody that that means you should skip whatever proverbial line that we may or may not have. I understand that's confusing, but the overall messages that are coming out here just don't feel that comfortable to me. If you want to get players to try to show that they're interested in the vaccine as a way in order to get other people to do it, let them do it on their own time and their own volition. We all know what the power would be of sitting in LeBron James, for example, do that. But to try to snow us all on this notion that, like, oh, we need it first because we're going to teach other people to do it, we're smarter than that, okay? And I don't know that the players are necessarily going to be that into
it. That's a fair point. Specifically, when you hear Silver say there could be a real public health benefit to getting some very high-profile African-Americans vaccinated to demonstrate to the larger community that it's safe and effective. What do you think?
I mean, that may be true, but I don't necessarily know that I feel like it's his place to say, if that makes sense. I can hear that from a Kyrie, a KD, a LeBron, whomever. I don't necessarily need to feel like the commissioner is telling me something that I don't need to know from him in order to figure that out. We've all been dealing with this pandemic as much as Americans on this, you know, and on this globe for the whole year. Adam Silver coming out and telling me, oh, guess what? You know, you might be able to learn something from this guy. Yeah, I know.
Emily, how would you feel if the NBA vaccinated players?
You know, Clinton brought up a lot of reasons that do give me pause. I almost wish Adam Silver was like, you know what? we are going to skip the line and vaccinate players to save our season. Be honest about it. We know that the NBA season is a total mess right now. There's outbreaks on teams. There's postponements. The one way out of this is to vaccinate people. And along the way, perhaps that does convince some people who don't believe the effectiveness of vaccinations or that's the cure for this pandemic. But again, Clinton mentioned it. It has to fall on the players. This isn't about Adam Silver. This is, they've showed tremendous leadership in the past. Why don't we trust them to pick what's right and what's the right time to do it?
And Mina Kimes?
I think it's important to draw a distinction between vaccinating the entire league to make their season easier and having a few players, you know, key figures, prominent faces, choose, and that's the other important word here, to be vaccinated for the public health benefit. Because I have read and heard a lot about the impact of showing people that this is safe. And, you know, it's why the American presidents of the past did it together, for example. That's true. But that is very different from, you know, a league-wide vaccination, which I do think would have negative optics and give the impression of cutting in line. And that's something I don't think is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. That will be the last word on this, Clinton Yates. We have to run right now. Looks like Emily Kaplan and Mina Kimes in Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Lexus amazing moment of the game. New York Rangers last night, all right? They chose Brendan Lemieux getting pelted with consecutive shots. Takes the first and then eats another. Is that the play of the game, Emily Kaplan?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. The Devils chase out the goaltenders. So they need to put in sweet Prince Igor Shesterkin, and you need to protect the Prince. So, yes, this was the play of the game. And guess what? Hockey player. He's going to play again on Friday. He's fine.
Of course he is. Mina Kimes, how about you?
He's very tough, but I hockey Twitter earmuffs, please. He just kind of got in the way. I mean, if we're like playing the game, I mean, the dude just kind of was there. It doesn't seem
how
to fire that much.
How dare you, Mina Kimes? How
mute
dare
her.
You? Take a point off. Point Emily Kaplan. We'll move on. Showdown 2. League 2 football, all right? That's a fourth division in England, I think, right? Newport County goalkeeper Tom King goal kick. Full pitch goal is what we're looking at here. No reaction, though. Except the post bump. Just one little post bump. Do you need more reaction from your goal-scoring keeper, Mina Kimes?
Well, here's what I think happened. It's an incredible boot. The guy's got a real leg, but I suspect he might have been feeling secondhand embarrassment for his fellow goalkeeper because to me that was more of his fault than a success for the other goalkeeper.
This guy is amazing, and I wish that my beloved Chelsea would sign him. But Mina, why are you feeling bad for the other goaltender? All he had to do was get in the way.
Was that goaltender I heard there? Oh, my goodness. So you're losing a point. Mina Kimes, I think you have to be consistent, though. You have to say earmuffs all soccer fans out here. You're losing a point as well. What happened in this showdown, ladies? I get Emily Kaplan, I guess, with 0 points, you win today's FaceTime. Congratulations.
I'll take it. It's 1 week into the NHL season, and the leading goal scorer right now is Bobby Ryan. Now, I'll tell you why this is significant. He's a veteran player. Maybe you know the name. Last year, he took time away from the Ottawa Senators to enter extensive rehab facility for alcoholism. He said this is something that was a vicious cycle. He was trying to treat it himself in his life, but he knew that he had to get professional help. And hearing him talk so candidly was so inspiring. So 4 goals in 3 games to the little Detroit Red Wings. You love to see it.
You do. It's a great story, and we don't need earmuffs for hockey fans to hear that one. That one is incredible. Best to Bobby Ryan. All right. 23.5-hour break. Thanks for today, guys. See you tomorrow.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota.